Good morning again. If you can't hear me, just raise your hand. It sounds like I'm not projecting very well with this, but everybody can hear? The title for the message this morning is Resistance is Futile. And I wanted to go through this a little better because when we hear this, we think, well, you have to resist some things. I mean, it's just normal and natural that we push away certain things that aren't for our good, and we know what those are, and I could make reference to them, but I'm going to go a little different place this morning and see if we, you and me and all of us, can't relate to it. You know, it's been said by psychologists, what we resist persists. And there was a great book written in the 1980s by a man who was not Unity or not particularly spiritual. In fact, he called himself an agnostic named Nathaniel Brandon. It was called The Disowned Self. And I think that when we disown pieces of things we can't accept in us, we certainly are going to do it in others. And the things that I believe that we can make peace with and accept in ourselves, we're going to give the same to others. Resistance is futile for a number of reasons, and some of those I'm going to cover this morning. What is. What you refuse to accept out there is usually correlative to what you refuse to accept in here. In other words, if I have an angry spirit or a resistant spirit or a temperamental spirit about a particular issue in me, I will find that out there because we find what we look for first in ourselves and then project it onto our neighbors. Now, this isn't just psychological folderol. This is the words made or extrapolated by Christ Jesus. It was always speaking about the kingdom being within, the decision being within. The way that you live comes forth from here out and not from out here. Unfortunately, sometimes when we're young, we do get the idea from folks outside of us that this is the way we should live, this is the way it's done, this is the way I've been raised, this is my family, and then we go forth trying to replicate those experiences subconsciously. You know, in Unity, one of the things I love is the idea that every day can be a fresh beginning. Every now moment is a chance, as Course in Miracles says, to choose once again. You'll hear me say that a lot because life is about choice. It's about what you choose to make of it. Now, I know that there are some situations that try us in ways that we think we can't always take. But we look back on them and we see that, yes, indeed, we came through them. And sometimes, if we're really smart about it, we'll give thanks for the lesson. Resistance is a hard way to live. It is the prime cause of angst, anxiety, frustration, and sometimes illness carried forth because we believe in our ego state that we are right and justified in what we hold on to. And sometimes we bind to us with chains of steel the things that we don't want because we are addicted in a way to being right. Because being right makes us feel secure even if we're not right. Isn't it funny how you've seen people rationalize some of the worst things in their lives, but at least they feel right? We can see it in others, but when we do it ourselves, we either don't see it or we have darn good reasons for doing it. In Lessons in Truth, Dr. Cady, the Unity textbook, Lessons in Truth, Dr. Cady said, in the heart of even the most removed person from spirit, and she used the words, even in the most depraved person, There is a desire, though twisted, for good. You see, I was talking this week to somebody about these matters, and I said, you know, we go and read suspense novels, and we look at horror movies and all like that. I said, but there's a reason for that. We enjoy being stimulated in that way, and we know that we can leave that space of the book, the movie, whatever it may be, because we can return to good. And we also know the reason that we're horrified or held in suspense or whatever is because we know that there's good. We know that these things that we're seeing are outside of the range of good, and we naturally, our heart gravitates to the good. That's why we can be stimulated sometimes in a negative way, because it feels good and it seems like the thing to do, but really it's a misplaced path towards good. I think it's better to pronounce all of it good. That doesn't mean that we walk around looking at tragedies and say, is it that good? Or look inside ourselves at negativity and say, that's good. That's not what I mean. Pronouncing it all good means that everything emanates from the divine choice maker inside. Ernest Holmes said that the power within us is God power and also neutral, depending on our use of it. Our heart beats, we have respiration, we have a thousand things that go on inside us without our conscious participation. The one thing we do have control over is the thoughts we choose to entertain. And notice how many times we entertain those things that aren't for our highest good. So we resist the new and embrace the old and the familiar in our lives, not just through a book or a movie, but because that feels good, it's been right, and it seems to serve us. And sometimes we get what psychologists call secondary gain from holding on to these things. The gain of somebody that says, isn't it awful? We join what's called the Ain't It Awful Club. And we go to our friends, and they confirm this back towards us. It's awful, it's terrible, and I don't know how you're going to do it. And that's what, ironically, is called happy hour at a lot of bars, where people get together and talk about how unhappy they are. But you see, the way I think around that, at least once worked for me, and it's something that I practice, because I do practice metaphysics in my life all the time, as much as I'm able, is to see the situation that I'm resisting inside me or out there in a different light. In other words, some things call for my forgiveness because I blamed. That was my choice to blame. Some things call for compassion. That's a little easier for me because I seem to be real empathetic and sympathetic towards those that go through difficulties in life. Sometimes things call for you putting them in right order, whether it be your home, your office, the car. I'm ducking because don't look in my back seat. I haven't done what I'm saying right now, but I will. And that's another hook. I will when I get around to it. I'm going to do that. That's another way of fear in its insidious ways getting a hold of us. The best thing I know to do when I heard this, what I'm saying, spoken a long time ago in different ways by many people, was to picture a mental blackboard or a whiteboard that I had the power to erase and write brand new, what do I do? I'm not saying that I see a whole group of people holding on to things that are negative. I'm saying that by virtue of being human, we do it. And people will come to a Unity church and say, it doesn't work because I affirmed over and over this week and nothing happened. Well, you can speak words over and over again, but if you don't have the acceptance and the emotion behind them and the willingness and the desire to change and let it go, it will persist. Ego is very, very strong. And it's that way because we come into this world unarmed. The only thing we have is our minds. And many times, as I've said, they're molded by people with their own agenda. We are sometimes moved and hurt by people with their own agenda and those that have been moved and hurt before us, and that's what they know how to give. But thankfully, we can make a new decision. The things that I have held on to with chains of steel inside me that weren't for my highest good have always caused the most problem. And I've always before found a rationalization for doing it. Well, you see, they did it. I can't let them get away with it. It's already done. Whatever's done is done. They got away with it. You just don't like that they did it. Why not let it go? I remember a story that my mentor told me about a man that came to him for counseling. And he said, in this divorce settlement that I'm with my soon-to-be ex-wife, she's gotten $100,000, and it's left me with just $5,000. I can't sleep at night. The doctor gave me a Valium. I'm doing things that I don't usually do. He poured out this tale of woe to the minister and said it for about, I just can't let her get away with this. The mentor, my mentor and the minister said, give it freely and add a little more. Well, he recoiled. He said, I can't do that. He said, you can do that because it's going to be the greatest lesson of your life. Well, he gave the $100,000 and he threw in 10 more. That was the biggest growth for him because at that time, when his soon-to-be ex-wife heard about that, she said, I didn't know you had that in you. I didn't know that lived in you. Maybe that could have saved us. They became friends, and she gave the $10,000 back. A healing began of sorts. What happened to that couple from then on, I don't know. But what could have been very messy and very ugly turned into a healing between two people who had once declared their love for one another and had forgotten it in an egoic struggle. To me, life is not all about the awful things that happen out there, though we know they're there and we send our love to them and we do the best we can. It's those epic struggles that we go through in our daily life, and I'm saying epic with a small e. Those little things, those Lilliputians of smallness that build up, and we feel slow and sluggish, and we want another way to live. Wipe the board of your mind clean. Write a new day, a new way, a new me. New sounds even good. Wiping a blackboard or emptying a trash can or letting the mind go in meditation, all these things are wonderful. They're concepts upon which you build a new life. And how do you do it? You simply make a decision. I'm going to give that up. It could be a person, it could be a substance, it could be a resentment, it could be something in the past. You just let it go. It's done. And the evidence that it had to happen is that it happened. And we just don't like it that way. Great psychologists have said the essence of maturity is the ability to stand forth and let things go that no longer serve us. And as when I became a minister, one of the things that I wanted to do was to help people in those small epic struggles, those things of everyday life, those things that I had learned and worked for me. And I wanted to give opportunities through what I had been through to help folks do that. You see, I don't believe we have the trouble with affirmations and saying we love a person we have the things that we walk away with that we think are just too hard to give up, too much. I just can't let it go. And that, I'm saying, can be the foundation of a new life. So I'm going to switch from the problem right now into the wonderful solution. The new day, the new way, the new you means that you recognize it happened. You don't say it's wonderful. You don't say it was great. You say this is an opportunity for me to advance in my spiritual growth. I am not going to resist. I am not going to have a resistant heart towards anything. I'm going to let it go. Do you realize the strength it takes to do that? When we look at the great people in history, we look at Martin Luther King and Gandhi and great spiritual leaders. They taught the same thing. Nonviolence out there because there was nonviolence in here. You see, I like to go to the genesis of things. All the violence out there comes from in here, and if it's united. And when it's united, it really gets ugly. We stop the wars here, we stop them out there. That doesn't mean tacit approval of everything. It doesn't mean liking it. It doesn't mean any of that. We all have personal tastes, but it means a spiritual maturity to say, it is what it is, that which is. There was a program that a spiritual person put on PBS, and he entitled it That Which Is. And I love that title because that's all we're ever dealing with. Half of the things that are worrying us right now, or maybe more, are things that have been done in the past, and we have to let it go. I talk a lot about letting go in these messages because I know that it's so easy when you're in a group like this. We can all smile at one another. We can all be glad to see one another. And we still walk home with those things and we think, maybe this week it'll change. Maybe this week I can do something different. And sometimes it's just plain, flat acceptance. Well, really, it is always that way. And then sometimes it's the way you choose to deal with it. The ego has been said by some metaphysicians, E-G-O means easing God out. It means I know enough to make all these decisions and I don't need any type of help. But Christ Jesus was there to lend a hand, to talk, they called it forgiving. I think Jesus understood rather than say your Heavenly Father blames you. Your Heavenly Father understands, and this is how I'm going to help you understand. I think that the measure of our maturity is what we can understand about ourselves and about other people. I would suggest, if it's possible, as the 12 steps encourage, that if you have something against somebody, that you go to them and do is what is called make amends. It not necessarily have to be something you've done. It can be, I'm holding this against you and I want to stop. A healing can occur. And even if they're resistant to it, you've already let it go and we're willing inside to be healed. Isn't that where we live? Right here. Me, you, we're all inside this bag of skin. Krishnamurti, Alan Watts, the Buddha, they all talked about the fact that really there is no self in the way we look at it. It's a compendium of thoughts, and we resonate to other people with similar thoughts. Thus, we create our reality in ways that we don't even know. Why not say to yourself, it's good because I'm now making a decision to seek good. Don't hold it against you. Realize this now moment is the only moment you can live and make it the best, and the best is letting it go. I don't mean letting good memories go. I mean letting those that no longer serve us go. You feel lighter, and it's better, and you're going to be better for the folks that are around you. If church, as we call it,
if the net result isn't a better and happier life, what are we doing? Are we doing this because God is an ego-driven potentate who demands worship? I don't believe that, and I don't think you do either. I know that none of the metaphysicians that I ever read said that. They said there is a power available in this universe that can be used for good and is yours with a decision to use it. That placed responsibility squarely back on us. We can't point fingers anymore because we don't want to point fingers anymore when we get it. We don't need to have that, what I call that powerful, persistent, I was wronged. It changes us. True spirituality and true living, the Christ message, the Buddha message, I can go right down the line, is about acceptance of now, not resisting, so that you can live the next now moment in the best possible way. If I don't tell you that, I don't believe I'm doing my job. Then in that next moment that you've decided to let this go, forgive this, make amends, however that is, you're fresh. You can accept something new. And if it comes to you again in another form, something that you've let go, it must be a lesson you need to learn. And how will you know when the lesson is learned? When it doesn't show up anymore, or you don't recognize it. You see good where you used to see duality. You see oneness where you used to see separation. And you love where you used to feel ambivalent or even angry. I'm not a man that short circuits humanity. I know from myself and from a lot of people that it's not all unicorns and rainbows. The acid test is the truth you can take about yourself, the truth I can take about myself. And I hope that every time that I hold that up to the light, that it's healed, I affirm that it is, and then I see the fruits of it in my life. And then I can go forward and accept those new moments. And I absolutely live for that. Newness. What feels better than forgiveness of yourself and others? You know, one of my great books that I loved was called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. He had four rules that I think cover it. He said, forgive yourself. Forgive others. Keep up with yourself, not others. And the fourth thing is, don't go to bed at night carrying the day with you. Let it go. It's a decision. It can be done. It doesn't always feel great at the moment, but I guarantee it's going to feel good later on. The great thing about unity is that we recognize one presence, one power in our lives. God, the infinite, omniscient, omnipresent spirit that never leaves us for a moment, that we can turn to in times of difficulty or times of joy, always with us and ready to meet our present need if we are open to it. That means we just have to get ourselves out of the way, which is a compendium of opinions, and allow the newness to come through right now. That is joyful beyond measure to me. And the holidays are coming up, and we're about to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, it's very, very quaint and very wonderful to celebrate a physical birth of a man named Christ. But the Christ idea of being born in us is of the most tremendous magnitude. It's the one that says, you can do it. You can start over again. Here's how it is. It's newness of life. We can have a Christmas every day. There's a saying that said, it doesn't matter if Jesus be born of a virgin 1,000 times if he's not born inside me. And I think the Buddhists can say that. I think any other religion that's healthy can say that. Unhealthy religion wants to keep you oppressed. It wants to remind you of your sinfulness, of your lack of your necessity for what they say will heal you, which is usually control. Religion binds. Spirituality and going inside frees. And when you're free, you live to your own light, not the one prescribed by somebody else who has an agenda and they want you to carry it out. And I just don't mean ministers. I'm talking about sometimes the people that are next to us. I say this, anybody in relationship that doesn't want you to be free and grow and love and explore is one that's not working for your highest good. Those that love you and really appreciate and honor your humanity will encourage you to grow across broad spectrums and then bring it back and tell them about it. They'll be excited for you. They'll be excited with you. I know that I'm excited when I hear it in a congregation or I see evidence of it somewhere. I was lucky enough last night to officiate at a marriage ceremony in Kerrville under that big cross, and it was just as cold as it could be, and I had two people, one of the bride was crying, and the groom had his hands in his pocket, and he was nervous and cold. And one of the people there said, "You're going to say something to them that they'll remember." And I said, "Well, I've already done some talking myself. There's a little nerves there." And the fellow said, "Tell me," the groom said, "tell me, what can I do that will always get me through understanding what I have to be as a husband?" And I said, "Well, realize you probably spent your last day ever being right after I pronounced you husband and wife." My own little joke. Well, that broke the ice. And I said, "Be marriaging." After I say these words, don't just say, "I'm married, that's it." Make every day a decision to understand. Don't resist your partner. Understand your partner. And don't go to bed angry. It does you no good because it'll repeat it over and over again. I said, "Is that pretty good? We got just 2 minutes before I'm supposed to do this." He said, "That's got me through it." And then we went to the reception, and everything's all right. They're going to be fine. But I love the honesty with which they approached it. I said, "Don't resist one another. Understand one another." And to you today, I say, don't resist anything. It's there to be loved, understood, and your wonderful compassion and your wonderful empathy can be given to things that we call not so good. And that's the acid test of unity. It's wonderful to affirm. It's fantastic to be positive. It's great to see what you want to see on a vision board or inside your mind. All that's wonderful because we become what we think about. But first, we can let things go so that we have a greater field for more good to come in. When we do that, we're creating a life that expands. And expansion in the human personality, in the human soul, is what it's all about. And we give thanks for that. I give thanks for you. And so it is. Yay. Thank you.